Tesla shapes up like this. I better refresh my memory. What are we doing today?
You sent it to me.
That's right, I did.
Up. It's Bill Bender to kick things off.
And then Frank Schwab on the NFL. And then Tommy Birch. Looking forward to talking to Birchie. Lots of ground to cover with Birchie. So that's the BMW of Des Moines guest list. We'll do college sports with Bill Bender, where they're headed particularly football-wise. Starting to see some games, some kick-off times trickle out. Nothing yet on Cy-Hawk, which... perfect world would break between 11 and 1.
Right, yes.
Right, which would be great.
2:30 CBS.
Yeah, that's your call?
I don't feel as confident.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Yeah. We'll wait, but hopefully we won't have to wait much longer. And it comes out at some point this morning as they are starting to trickle out. We'll get into the NBA, the fact that I've never seen an NBA team that just can't shoot a free throw to save their life. My God. What an embarrassment that was, as the it was all set up for the Dallas Mavericks to take a commanding lead. But when you go, these are pros making millions and millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars, 12 for 35 from the free throw line. I don't follow the Mavericks. Don't follow the NBA. Regular. Is this a problem? Is this a year-long problem? What am I asking you for?
Yeah, exactly. I never heard it.
I haven't either.
It was one
God.
Of those things that... Yeah, we start to dip our toe in, you know, end of the regular season. It feels like something that would have come up, right?
I mean, one team's going 23 out of 24. Mm-hmm. One team's going 12 out of 35. And it ends up being a four-point game.
35 points in the fourth quarter out of the Thunder. They were hitting everything.
Mm-hmm.
SGA.
He's unbelievable,
that
isn't
dude.
He is unbelievable.
Really, really good. I like the aggressiveness out of Chet Holmgren. I really liked what we saw out of him. Now,
yep.
Admittedly, I was hoping for my comeback because I was on the Thunder last night and we needed that one to get home. But just overall, they felt dead in the water for three quarters.
I'm with you. Other than Dort, I thought Dort was physically involved in the game. No, he didn't shoot worth a damn. But that's not always there for him. He's never played defense. And I thought that, when I was tuned in, he was doing just that.
And you look at the free throws like individually for the Mavericks. P.J. Washington, 204. Jones, 204. Gafford, 204. It's not like you had a guy. It's not like Shaq.
Right. This going
when he went 3 of 18.
Sure.
It's not anything that, well, you just pin it out.
Team-wide.
Yeah. It just missed free throws, inopportune times. Lively was 1 of 3. Kyrie even missed a free throw. Just those little things. And he had another one that barely dropped through that rattled around the rim. Just a weird night overall. Let's see if I can find the Mavericks. Let's see.
Doncic missed a big one down the stretch.
Yes. Yeah, good call on that one. This is crazy. Just seeing the numbers are absolutely eye-popping. They shot, during the regular season, 75.8% from the free throw line.
Where does that rank?
That seems really good, right?
Yeah, but it's middle of the pack, probably, NBA, toward the bottom?
27th.
Were they really?
Holy crap. That's incredible in its own right.
But if they just shoot their season average last night, make their season average of free throws, they win the basketball game.
They're up 3-1, they're cruising, and they're into the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And away we go, likely against the Nuggets.
I don't know, Trent.
No,
I'm not ready to go there yet.
So this is a conversation we had before the series, and I could not buy in. And then two games in, I'm all in. And now we're back the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Home team has not won a game.
They have not.
What game plan does Finch and Company come up with this evening? What are they doing to combat Jokic? So early on in the first two games, it was Jamal Murray looked hurt.
Yep.
And the way that they were defending Jokic up and down the floor, not allowing him to get involved, do they need to close out harder on him? He's shooting the ball a lot more. Is it being more aggressive
towards
him?
This is a really good defensive ball club
in
the T-Wolves. For whatever reason, they've got... Now, obviously, Denver's doing something different. I don't know exactly what that is. I don't know what that... Because they try to... They tweak some things between, obviously, Game 3 and Game 4. In Game 3, they just had no momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Ant blames that on the extra day off. They wanted to keep playing. I get why you want to keep playing. You're up 2-0. Of course you want to play.
Yes.
Right? Let's play right now, game three. But they had that extra day off, and they thought they came out flat. I don't know what it was. I think it was just too much Murray. It was the end of the first half, Trent.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what the difference in the basketball game was.
Because we talked about when they cut it to 7, well, if you're down 7 at the half as opposed to 15... It's a tie game.
Absolutely. Huge difference.
I'm not a mathematician, but
that
would help.
No, but in this case, worked. It showed.
Yes, the math worked on that one.
Look, call Anthony Towns. Make some make some baskets, would you? And if it's not going, stop. Don't continue to shoot the basketball. He just couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Ant's Ant. He's going to get his. I don't know. I think, look, it's my heart.
Yeah, it is.
I want the T-Wolves. Mm-hmm. I looked about cashing in my ticket yesterday.
Oh, really?
So I have $20 bet on the T-Wolves at 65-1.
65-1.
$1,320.
$1,320 back to you.
So when the series was, I think, started, they were offering me $235 for my ticket.
Okay.
So like 10-1.
Yeah.
Now they're offering me 4-1.
Oh, yeah, you can't do that.
No, is the $20 really going to make a difference in my life?
Yeah. No, it's just not another future bet for
me. Right, exactly. So, I'm just going to let it ride out. But yeah. We'll see. The home team, as you said, they have not won a game in this series. T-Wolves have won there before. Maybe a Sitko Bear. Maybe you do. Their best game was when he was, back at home in the Twin Cities.
Yeah. And Denver didn't really have an opportunity to game plan for that.
That's true.
5 o'clock that was officially happening.
Well, it had been buzzing that he's not going to be, isn't he?
He wasn't going to be, then he's going to try to get there. There was a ton going on, and then they weren't able to make it happen. So they weren't able to game plan for that one. Still, the way that they were so connected defensively.
Oh, it was just unbelievable.
It went away.
Uh-huh.
I'm excited for this one. Late tip-off. You making it to halftime?
Halftime is the goal. And then get up and watch the rest of it in the morning and hope it's a good start to my what'll be Wednesday with the T-Wolves putting one in the win column.
So when you do that, do you look at your phone at all?
No.
You go in cold?
No. Start the coffee pots, turn on the TV.
Simple
Make
as that.
Make sure it's not on ESPN. Leave it on something that's...
Right.
There's no way in hell I'm going to get a score.
Uh-huh.
By the time I get to the guide or whatever it is. Not the guide. What are you... Bank of programs you got taped and go from there. Did you watch any full court press last night? They played them all.
I did not, no.
ESPN2, I think, had them last night from 6 until the bitter end of this thing. All right, so let's get to the news from yesterday. It's not shocking news to me. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's not a shock. In fact, we speculated it. I threw it out there a couple of weeks ago. Why come back?
Right.
You've reached the pinnacle. You've reached the pinnacle. Now, I guess you're a coach and you're a competitor. Oh, we can get back there. No, you can't.
Yeah.
You had a generational talent on your team, and she carried your team to back-to-back national championship games. You've got a really good recruiting class. Lucy Olson's a really good player.
Yes.
You've got some players that stayed over. But if there was ever a time for a coach who's 63 years old, she's made millions.
Yes.
Made millions. Good for her. I'm not begrudging her the dough.
No.
I'm just putting out another reason on the side of the ledger why you leave at this time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a perfect time for her to say, it's been fun. I'm going to turn it over to my very capable assistant in Jan Jensen. Good for her for getting the gig. First thing I thought of, wait a second, Beth Getz, you don't follow the rules here.
Yes, absolutely.
There's some protocol that you have to follow. You haven't posted this job.
It's 2 weeks. How many times have we been told that a job has to be posted?
I've read Brian Ferentz's, the offensive coordinator job responsibility, as it was posted. I'm thinking, no, this is going to come back to bite them. Then Scott Dockerman last night, apparently he reached out and got an answer that under extenuating circumstances, and this is the right play.
This is absolutely
the right play. Do not hesitate. Get that out there as soon as you can because you want to keep the fan base pumped up. Mm-hmm. Some of them are kind of on the fence. Do we or don't we? It was so much fun last year. Can we have that much fun this year? Is that going to be any good? Blah, blah, blah. They did the right thing. Jan Jensen, the right hire at the right time.
I think a huge component of Lisa walking away is
Jan. Her knowing?
Well, that Jan would get the job.
Mm-hmm.
I think without that, I don't know if it happens. I really don't. I have that thought in the back of my mind.
So it's your opinion. The Bluter goes in and says, we've talked about it with my husband. I think now's the time for me to leave. And then obviously she wants to turn it over to Jan Jensen. And Best Guess was said, I think maybe we should just make sure that what's out there. I got this search firm.
Well, we know this would not have happened under the previous regime.
That's true.
Gary Barta, I cannot believe that there is a way in hell he would have done this the way that Beth Getz did it.
Mm-hmm.
At minimum, he would have been scared.
Posted.
Litigation.
Yeah.
It would have been posted. And though,
well, I kind of get it why he'd have been scared of litigation. That didn't go well in the Barnett era.
Not a whole lot of home runs for him in the court of law throughout the time.
Or public opinion.
Yes, absolutely. Here's the quote, though, how they were able to skirt the 14-day posting window that they did. This is from Chad Lystico. The athletic department requested and received approval for a waiver from the standard recruitment and job posting process to hire Jan Jensen to be the P. Sue Beckwith, MD, head women's basketball coach position. With appropriate justification, a waiver of the search process may be granted upon review and approved by the University Human Resources Compensation and Classification Unit and the University Office of Institutional Equity. Man, they have a lot of offices over there, don't they?
They do. And here's the other thing. Whoever is working in the sales department over at the University of Iowa that was able to sell the naming rights to the women's basketball coach, see if you can hire that person.
Oh, you're right.
So who's it named after? Sue Beckwith, M.D.?
P. Sue Beckwith, M.D. We got the Moon family football coach with Kirk Ferentz. We have the Tippy, I think, athletic director. Yes. That's pretty good.
And how much do they get for having their name on the head coach's
office? It's got to be hundreds of thousands of dollars, Jesus. You'd anticipate. Now,
some people just have too much money.
The football coach is one thing, and that's the world's largest truck stop money, the Moon family that has that.
Oh, that's
one.
What they own?
Yes.
That's that fast?
That's
I
the Moon
didn't
family.
Know that.
Yeah. So that one, I'm going to guess, is probably pricier than the Ken Miller, ice hockey coach.
Yeah, you think
probably a little bit more ticker.
But what do these people get out of having their name attached to the head coach?
Ken Miller
position?
And Trey Cotter are talking about him.
I guess today they are
right.
And if I would have known, I probably wouldn't have brought it up.
See your name in print, those kind
That's
of things.
Just but, weird. Yeah. Just weird to me.
Have that kind of money, huh?
Yeah, really. So, by all accounts, I mean, it made the former Hawks. They're tickled pink.
Yes.
Megan Gustafson changed her life. Megan Gustafson said on X, Caitlin Clark very quickly. When did she know? When did Caitlin know? She's not part of the team.
Right. I saw Kate Martin found out at her press conference.
I saw that.
Yes.
She was told in the middle of a Zoom. Was that Jeff Linder from the Gazette that
probably
asked that?
Yeah, that sounds great. And it's crazy. I mean, Chance her aunt.
Oh,
to find out that your
right.
aunt
I forgot all about that.
Gets first of all that your head coach is retiring.
And to see her, and that was real too, because she's a hell of an actress,
yeah.
She sold that big time that when she found out live.
Think of the just last couple of days that Kate Martin has had.
Oh. Unreal.
A long shot to make the roster, mm-hmm. You do for the not just any roster, no. The defending champions roster.
Right.
You make
a long shot to come out of the second round, a longer shot to come out of the second round and make a roster.
You get to play with Asia Wilson. You get to play for
on the best team in the league.
Yeah, one of the best coaches in basketball. Not women's basketball, basketball, period.
Right.
You get that opportunity. You get that. You find out your coach is retiring, the shock of that. Oh, by the way, your aunt is now the head coach. It's just what a whirlwind couple of days for Kate Martin.
And
great story.
It's phenomenal. Phenomenal so story. Phenomenal story. We'll take some calls. If you're on hold, we're going to get to you here coming up right away. But look at the move. Well done, Beth Getz, for knowing the fact that there is a loophole that you can actually, you know, circumvent the 2-week period where you actually have to, you know, post the job. She knew that in advance, wanted to take advantage of that, and she did the exact right thing. I haven't seen too many missteps out of the newly minted, I guess, athletic director. She's been spot on, and this is another example of it. She doesn't flinch.
Not at all. She has a game plan.
Uh-huh.
She is going to execute it to the best of her ability.
Yep.
And so far, she's done it incredibly well. So in the interim 23 minutes yesterday after the news broke, and before the next news broke, that Jan Jensen was taking over, what was I doing? Well, I did a little one-minute instant reaction, little podcast thing we do for Locked On. But then
23 minutes.
I was working on my hot board. Jenny Baranchik at the top with Jan Jensen. Mm-hmm. I think those are the two home run hires. Came up with a few other names with some Iowa connections.
I don't think you would have had to get by the first two.
No, I would be shocked by
Brenda
that.
Brenda Freeze?
No. Yeah.
Freeze. Was she on the list? Yeah.
She was on there. Brenda Freeze is the fourth highest women's basketball coach in terms of salary.
Is she really? She's been there a long time.
Now, Bluter was eighth, at least the last year's list that I saw. You know, the Georgia coach that played at Iowa, Abrahamson, remember her from 2 years ago when Iowa played the NCAA tournament. She's also in her mid-50s.
I wasn't following the sport at that time.
Right. you were still just getting there at that point in time. And the run to the Final Four changed that. But there are a few other ones, but this is right. Yeah, Baranchik, I think, also would be a great hire.
But and you know why else they had to do it quick? They can't do it today. This had to be done yesterday. You're not going to steal her thunder tonight.
Caitlin's debut.
Yes. This has to be done yesterday.
Yep.
Or wait until the middle of the week. And by then, who knows if it was starting to, some people are starting to, some whispers starting to percolate.
SportsCenter last night, I would say a good 4 or 5 minutes.
On this? Did they really?
I thought it'd be one of those little cursory 30-second clips.
Blow by, yeah.
It was a lot more than that.
How about that? Really for both surprised. Jan and for Lisa?
Mostly Lisa. Yeah, yeah, kind of talking about her accomplishments and the like. But yeah, I was surprised how much time it was devoted last night on SportsCenter about, again, the Iowa women's basketball job. Wow. Think of this just 2 years ago, that SportsCenter would dedicate minutes to something like this. Yeah. And here we are.
Nope. Anthony and then Jeff. Anthony, welcome. What's on your mind, Anthony?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good, thank you.
I'm pretty good myself, despite my Cubs got shut out last night.
Yeah, but you know what? Imanaga was unbelievable. He's a terrific pickup.
Yeah. You know, one comes to mind, I forgot to ask the early morning show with Ross and Travis on there. You know, think about it, guys. Coach Bluder is a Hall of Famer coach. We all know, I think she should be. Mm-hmm. But with two national semifinal appearances, two Final Fours, three Big Ten tournament champions. Now, the question is here, guys, should the school be named a court after her? After her, like Coach K Court, Pat Summit Court. I think they should name a Coach Bluder. Coach Bluder Court would be a good fit. Guys, I'll hang up.
Yeah, Anthony, it's interesting. A very interesting point.
It's already paid for, Mediacom.
Mediacom's got it, yeah.
Currently has it.
Yep.
But is there going to be a statue?
Do you need to win?
Right. Two Final Fours.
Yep.
At Iowa.
Look, this is rarefied air. Mm-hmm. I'm not minimizing what she did.
What, 7 Big Ten championships, 5 tournament, 2 regular season.
To lose that roster from the first a championship appearance, and to do it again.
Mm-hmm. Lose 2 starters.
Lose 2 starters, kept the one.
That helps.
Oh, my God, she's so
I think there needs to be something, though.
Yeah, I
think Anthony brings up a pertinent point. I don't think the naming rights to the court, not quite there, but a statue, name a suite after her, you know, something like that as they renovate Carver. There's definitely has to be something done for Lisa Bluder.
Yeah, I'm not a big statue guy.
No?
But something, yes. Let me think about that one. That's a good one, Anthony. Jeff is next. Jeff, how are you?
Well, a couple shout outs real quick. How about Goff getting paid $175?
How about that? Jesus.
About that. And I'm not knocking it. I think that's what you got to do. But quarterbacks coming after him now. I mean, that think about that getting $60 million a year. That's I don't know. It gives me a headache thinking about that one. Little hot,
think how much money Bo Nix is going to make when he wins 2 or 3 championships.
Whoa!
Let's hold the phones there on that one, Ken. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's a hot take I've been hearing on the internet, and I don't think you guys have talked about this. Trent maybe has been reading about this. How about Kansas going to the SEC?
You know, I just asked Trent that before the show. Have you heard anything about that, Trent? And I don't even know if you had you were listening. What do you think? I mean, I just heard about this morning for the first time, and why don't you hold Michael Swain, Miller? You know, you still got a connection
yes.
there. What is there some validity to this, Jeff? What do they want to do? Build basketball in the SEC?
Oh, no. Here's the crazy part. And again, if Trent's listening, Kansas football is 23rd in revenue in the last 2 decades.
What?
25 in football.
Wow. Hang on a second. I watch multiple games where the stadium's not even halfway full. Right.
That Oklahoma game that they had the lead on the halftime.
They were, come on in. They opened up the doors.
Yes.
If you're in the area, stop by. You're going to witness some history.
I wish I had the website that the guy name dropped.
Yeah.
He said this guy has processed the last 20 years Kansas football. Not basketball and football. Kansas football is 23rd in the nation. If that is true,
Jesus.
Why would the SEC not want to include Kansas and bring the basketball program to the SEC? They already have Missouri kind of tied in with that Kansas. Mm-hmm. That would be a monumental blow to the Big 12. I just wanted to throw that out there.
No, it would be. There's no denying that. I'll do some more checking. That's my homework this afternoon.
The athletic department, this is what I found here. This is from an SEC website. The source was the first predict USC to the Big Ten. The Kansas athletic department is one of the top 25 most profitable in the country. This says athletic department, not football program. So a little bit different what you're saying there, Jeff, but still overall, wow. That.
Well, when I heard that, it was a wow factor. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Kansas leaves, it's a huge blow to the Big 12.
Yeah.
I just wanted to touch base. I know Trent touched on it already with Jenny. Jenny did so many great things at Drake, and I've talked to multiple players, and they love Jenny. And what they were telling me, she was waiting for the Iowa job. It never opened. She goes to Oklahoma, which, was kind of just a middle-of-the-road program. And, guys, we've seen what she can do. She's young. She can recruit. I'm not knocking on Jen Jensen at all. But what I am saying is I wish, and maybe they did, maybe they made a phone call, I don't know. But I think we're talking a grand slam hire would have been Jenny, in my opinion. No knock on Jen, I think that's fine. But I think that what the Hawkeye program needed down the road, we're talking 10, 15, 20 years. I mean, she played at Iowa. I don't know if I said, all the ties with Jenny was perfect. Now, maybe that could be down the road. But I just thought that you're comparing the two. In my opinion, I think I would have went Jenny first. And again, maybe they talked. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's happy in Oklahoma.
Right.
I'm not for sure.
Well, it was the first name that popped into my head, Jeff. When I saw the release yesterday, she was the first name that popped into my head. Brancic.
Jenny or?
Yeah, Brancic. Okay. Jenny.
Okay.
Yeah.
This will be a topic. I don't know if it'll come out tomorrow. So you got Knicks. You have Pacers. I can't remember what's the tip time. And then you got Kalen in Indiana Fever. I would love to know what the ratings are when that comes out to see who draws higher.
Yeah,
that will. It'd be really fun to kind of see what that is. Just have a good day.
Thank you. Yeah, we opined on that yesterday during the show because Trent was under the assumption, and I haven't heard any differently. I forgot to text Ray Cole that Indianapolis is a metered market. So we'll find out. Look, we both think that the Pacers will win,
right?
But it won't be the route that it would have been last year,
exactly.
Right? It's going to be a lot closer. People in Indianapolis are pumped up for this. They just are. Pacers, Knicks. Knicks have owned the home court, but this is going to draw some eyeballs, the WNBA game tonight.
6:30 tip-off for the women's game.
The Deuce, right?
Yes, and then 7 o'clock for the Knicks and Pacers tonight, meaning a late night, as we mentioned earlier, with the Timberwolves and Nuggets, 9:30 tip-off there.
God.
Going to be a late, late night there. Indianapolis is the number 25 market in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as I know, I believe they are a metered market. And potential from somebody, probably from the Indianapolis Star, to get those numbers, find out exactly what it's going to be there.
Release them tomorrow at 11 a.m.
And, there's the other talk of how large is this going to be for Caitlin Clark in the TV ratings just nationally tonight. The all-time record was the first ever broadcast with Rebecca Lobo in the New York Liberty. That was on NBC on Sunday. And I don't know if it had an NBA lead-in or if it was the other way that they played first, then the NBA. But regardless, yet NBC, not ESPN2, on a Tuesday night, on a weekend.
Yeah.
Not exactly apples to oranges.
No, a little bit different.
That was 5 million, though. Is there a game that the Fever have more than 5?
Yes, this year?
This year.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, 11:25. We are going to talk to Bill Bender, do some college football stuff with Bill Bender coming up next. Where does he see this whole thing going? Ask him about Kansas. I heard it this morning for the first time.
So the guy's name that...
He was the guy that smoked out USC and UCLA leaving the Pac-12.
Greg Pfluger is his name. He was the one, as you mentioned, that had the USC Big Ten connection well before anybody else. So that's where we are at this point in time. Kansas, we got to have a partner to go with them. Who else? Who else would make sense to the SEC? They don't want
from what conference?
They don't want Florida State. They don't want Miami. They don't want Clemson. Because,
so what's the SEC trying to do? Are they trying to become a basketball power? Bring Duke.
Oh, it's a new market. Get North Carolina.
Bring them both if you can.
Well, obviously North Carolina, the actual University of North Carolina, would be at the top of the list.
Yeah.
But if you're going basketball, Duke. Oh boy, This is getting the wheels turning just a little bit.
And Duke football hasn't been brutal over the last couple of years by any means. I mean, certainly what it used to be.
Step up in competition, though.
A little deeper, but you know what? Basketball season is coming up soon. This Cooper flag, my God, I watched some more stuff in this weekend. Last year, Wembanyama. Next year, flag. This year, you win the lottery. What a blow. All right, let's do some bonus bucks, shall we? This nationwide contest will give you the keyword. You head to KXNO.com. Here's the disclaimer. Happy. Text KXNO. The keyword in our nationwide contest is happy. Happy at KXNO.com. Another opportunity coming up in 1 hour. The keyword is happy. Bill Bender from the Sporting News. He'll join us next. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. Just past 11:30, it's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. The keyword was happy. Another chance coming up in hour number two. And then throughout the afternoon with Murph and Andy and The Drive with Heather and Sean. Let's talk some college football, shall we? With our friend Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Bill, Trent, Ken, thanks for coming on. Bill, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. It's good to talk to you guys.
Good.
That means we're at least in the vicinity of college football.
Well, kickoff times are starting to trickle out, Bill, and that gets us all excited. At least it does in this chair.
This one, too.
I just love them. Hey, yeah, I heard a rumor this morning. I don't know. It's that time of year, right? It's realignment time. Is there anything to the Kansas SEC thing? Has that crossed your desk, anything like that, or come into your world, that Kansas and the SEC are flirting, potentially?
I read the Kansas City Star story. I mean, you know, summertime, there's bound to be a couple curveballs. You know, Missouri State kind of kept that wheel spinning last week by joining the Conference USA. Now, we'll say this, Kansas football ad, despite what Lance has been able to accomplish there, that is not a football school by any stretch, but they would add to the basketball, and I mean, geographically with Missouri in the neighborhood, makes sense. And if we're moving toward leagues with 20 to 24, everybody wants to be in the SEC and Big Ten. Let's not make any bones about that. That's why I don't dismiss any of these rumors.
Florida State, Clemson, two football programs, it would make sense, but according to this report, the schools that the SEC was looking at, according to Pfluger, Virginia, Clemson, yes, they were still there, even with South Carolina, North Carolina, and Kansas would be the 20th team there. How difficult would it be for South Carolina to give up kind of the
territory?
SEC state, yeah, if you will, with Clemson, all the success that they had? That's got to take a lot of consideration and probably a lot of handiwork to make South Carolina say, yeah, let's do it.
It'd be like if Iowa State wanted to come to the Big Ten.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
That's
what I'm saying. I lived down in Charlotte for a while, right on the border of South Carolina. And, you know, it was funny to me, not funny, I suppose, but I would go to high school football games in South Carolina and see the Clemson and South. The difference with that, and I'm sure it's your way, they live literally next to each other. I've never had that in Ohio. There's a couple Michigan fans around, but I mean, this is an Ohio State all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about it. Bill, one of the bigger stories we're waiting to see how it plays out is this whole lawsuit and the fact that there's going to be a number of schools, not named Ohio State, that really have to tighten their belts, right? That they have to make some difficult decisions. We saw Jamie Pollard just last week. They'd promised to make or build a new wrestling facility. Wrestling still means a lot at Iowa State and in our state. And then had to tap the brakes on that because we just don't know how this lawsuit is going to work itself out and how much the players are going to get or take away from the bottom line. Where do you think it stops, Bill? I guess best case scenario, this lawsuit is adjudicated, and what happens? What's it going to look like, college sports?
Well, I mean, it leads to revenue sharing, I'm sure, with football of some sort at some point, and perhaps the Big Ten and the SEC are the drivers of that, but it's not that simple. You know, you have to factor in there are other sports. There's Title IX. There's, you know, and that's why, you know, the thing that's always made, and I've heard coaches talk about this and the administrators, the thing that's always made the most sense to me is if football kind of went and did its own thing and made itself an entity in the form of the NFL. I mean, if they're just otherwise, just going to lose these other sports at the expense of football in some ways. And I think I don't want to see that happen.
Right.
You know, obviously, you just talked about why would anybody want to see their wrestling program go away, especially mm-hmm. where you guys live?
Mm-hmm. It's an unfortunate part that feels like it's a reality coming to the not-so-distant future of college athletics and more cuts that are going to be happening. Hey, fill us in on the idea that they're not going to have scholarship limits. However, they're going to cap it at like 95, basically meaning walk-ons are a thing of the past. Walk-ons yep. have been the lifeblood. Well, back in the 90s for Nebraska, certainly Iowa has had that. Iowa State's built their walk-on program up at a high level. Walk-ons are no more. Is that a real possibility, Bill?
Disastrous idea.
Yeah.
Opinion. It's not like the NFL where if you have Titans lose 17 guys to injured reserve, you can't pull guys up.
Right.
I mean, that's the first fault of this whole thing. Secondly, yeah, I lived with a walk-on in college. I watched him play football for Ohio University, and he got beat up. We'll just put it that way. But he loved it, and he worked hard, and that was his dream to play Division I football. How many kids are you taking that dream away from?
Yeah.
That and the success stories from walk-ons are always great. So yeah, I think it would be a terrible idea.
Well, even Calipari in basketball says he's flirting with an 8 or 9 scholarship roster at Arkansas in the SEC in basketball. Because of the whole walk. And we're talking about an SEC program. We'll see where this goes. Going to be fascinating to watch, but bottom line, things are certainly changing, no doubt about that. Bill, it's list season. You've come up with some of what you anticipate, how rankings-wise, quarterbacks, et cetera. I want to start, first of all, just the Big Ten and talk about what Iowa's done, bringing Sullivan over from Northwestern. We think it's going to be a competition, whether we're having the wool pulled over our eyes or not. Northwestern's quarterback, injured Cade McNamara, how's this going to play out? Did Iowa do the right thing? Did they get an adequate guy for when the time comes? Because it seemed more likely than not that, unfortunately, McNamara will be hurt. Do you like the pickup?
Because the experience in the Big Ten matters, and experience with whoever picks up that offense I don't think the offense is going to change dramatically, but I mean, whoever picks up what Tim Lester wants to do, what Kirk Ferentz wants to do, if Cade McNamara can stay healthy somehow. I mean, he's very experienced, and he's won a Big Ten championship. We didn't really get to see what he could do last year. Sullivan's obviously played a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's whoever can move those chains, man. I mean, and as you guys know, I'm sure you're sick of talking about Iowa's passing game. Whoever can get that going a little bit.
Yes, anything will be better than what we've seen, certainly the last two seasons, you would hope. And if not, oh boy, heads very well could be rolling over in Iowa City. Speaking of Iowa football, you have your list of top 25 coaches in college football. The full list, 1 through 132, will be out tomorrow. But top 25 is out there, and there sits Kirk Ferentz at 19. Same spot you had him a year ago. Take us through a little bit of putting this together. I know it's a yearly exercise for you. And what landed at 19 for Kirk?
I always remember when we put this out, I always look at the first comment. And who did we rank wrong? And who doesn't belong on the list? And then I laugh, and then I'm like, it was Kirk. Not right. I mean, it's what we were just talking about. On one hand, the offense was bad. On the other hand, 10 games, got the Big Ten championship, has an elite defense year in and year out, and just trying to put all that together. Every coach on this list, I think this one was harder than usual, as I've been pointing out a couple people. First year since I started doing this for us in 2015, and that year I had Urban Meyer number one. Every year since, Nick Saban's been number one. And every top 10 coach on that first list on it did in 2015, all 10 of them, none of them coach college football right now.
Wow. Is that right? And 2015? And they're all gone?
A couple names on that list. I look back. I mean, Harbaugh still coaches
right
in the NFL. You had David Shaw, Chris Peterson, Urban Meyer, Mark D'Antonio, Gary Patterson, all of them not head coaches right now. It was a little eye-opening. I think Mark Richt was in the top 10. So, yeah, this thing changes. And this year in particular, Kirby number one. Everything 2 through 15, if you say you're wrong, I'll say, okay. I mean, but there's so many tough choices there.
There really are, and one of them, the guy you put number three following Nick Saban's shoes, I mean, DeBoer at Alabama. What would be considered a successful season amongst the Bama faithful? What do they want? Do they, you know, just keep going at the same level that they're always at? They have to be realistic. Well, no, they don't. They're fans. But what do you think Alabama's ceiling is this year?
Well, their expectation will be national championship. Right. My definition of success, and I think it's going to feel like this at a lot of places, is if you get in the playoff and you maybe win a game and you get to that Elite Eight or Final, you know, I wonder if we'll start treating semifinal, Final Four appearances. How do we look at those? I think if Kalen's able to do that, I mean, I'm not really worried about what he's going to do with that offense. I think my biggest piece of curiosity is they're going to a 4-2-5 defense with Kane Womack, South Alabama coach, who did a nice job there. I was always used to, you get what you expected solid on that side of the ball with all the NFL players they produced. I want to see how their defense changes.
Number four on your list, Ryan Day. It's crazy for a guy with a 56-8 record that he could be on the hot seat, but another loss to Michigan, maybe an early exit in the college football playoff, getting upset in the first round could be it. Your thoughts on coach third base, Ryan Day?
Yeah, you know, so you said 56-8, but, you know, you could just cut that down to 55-5 because it's that other 1-3 that everybody's looking at in Columbus. And that's just how it works here. It's how it works with Cooper.
Yep.
I think it diminishes what he's been able to do. They are, you know, three playoff appearances, championship appearance. They've lost a couple to Michigan, sure, and it's a big year for him. But I still think, you know, so if it's not Ryan Day in the top five, do you want me to put Lincoln Riley in there?
No.
Do you want me to put Mike Norvell in there? Mm. And I mean, he was about to get fired 2 years ago. A lot of people like Dan Lanning a lot, and I get that, but next year he could be in the top five.
Will Deion Sanders be in the top 25 next year? What's his season look like this year, Bill? I mean, is there any pressure at all to, you know, turn a corner this year? He was the talk of college football in September. Sadly, October, November, also part of the schedule for the Buffaloes, and that didn't go as well. What does he have to do this year to get people to think, all right, now I get why you did what you did and why you conduct business the way that you do? Because sooner or later, he's going to have to win, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, this will be it's an experiment of sorts. It's something that people like to overreact to is roster management. We're at that part of the year. We're going to overreact to their opener. I saw that those times are trickling out. Like you said, they got the Thursday night opener.
Yeah, I saw
North
that.
North Dakota State.
And that's not easy.
Brand of school. Yeah, I mean, North Dakota State has a reputation for knocking off FBS schools. So that's out there. They'll still draw huge ratings in September. I think it's trying to get to 500. And then the curiosity for me is what happens after Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders and Chello Sanders aren't on that roster. You know, how much Deion, is he really committed to this thing long term, or is he just doing this to coach his kid?
Mm-hmm. Is there an SEC job opening that would make sense? A possibility there as well. Hey, we won't get to see Colorado-Iowa State, unfortunately, this year, but Matt Campbell not in the top 25. I know the full article isn't out yet with the full list, but where do you have Matt Campbell in your coaches list?
I think we put him 33. Okay. You know, he hasn't moved down necessarily. He's about in the same spot he normally is. You know, they still have had success. I think there's an opportunity for Matt in this new look Big 12, like everybody else. I've been kind of on these shows the last couple of weeks, and we're getting closer to prediction time. And I can't pick a Big 12 champion. It's the cool part about it is literally I could pick half the league, half of the schools in the league. I could say they're going to win this thing, and I wouldn't feel bad about it. So I mean, Iowa State will have their chance in that too.
The Big 12 ranking quarterback, I saw that you came out. It's been a couple of years now. I think Rocco Becht is right, I was going to say right in the middle. It's no longer a 12-team conference, idiot. So he's a little bit above that. KJ Jefferson, I love this pickup. I watched him a ton play at Arkansas. He's really good. The fact that three of the newcomers to the conference, Sanders, Fifta at Arizona, Rising at Utah, Jaden Daniels is the lone returnee from what was the conference, and then Jefferson and Rocco Becht. Pretty good group of quarterbacks will be plying their trade on weekends in the Big 12 this season, Bill.
You know, it will be interesting because of those Pac-12 quarterbacks coming in, Shedeur Sanders in particular. I want to see what he does in this conference. I think Fifita had a monster year as a new coach with Brent Brennan. You mentioned Rocco. he's more efficient than people let on. Or I think he's going to cut pop in some living rooms this year. And then, you know, from there, we're going to have to wait and see. I like Jalen Daniels at Kansas a lot. You just got to stay healthy. That was another one on the coach list, by the way. There are a lot of calls. We can bring some of this full circle. They wanted Lance in the top 10.
Really?
Fantastic job there.
Yeah.
He has.
Yeah.
You know, they've never been to three straight seasons. They could do that this year.
I would think they would. You know, another quarterback in the Big 12 I like is Green at West Virginia. Your thoughts on him?
Turned a little bit of a corner last year with Neil Brown. Spoke to him earlier in the spring. Pretty excited about where they're going. Now, Neil, it took a little longer than it does, and that happened. And, you know, he's very successful at Troy with Green, veteran quarterback. That's always what I look at. And he's not a transfer, but when you have those transfer quarterbacks, and there's some in the Big 12, if I say that once, I'll say it a million times. It's that second year with the transfer that you're going to get the best out of them.
Yep, no doubt about it. Bill Bender from the Sporting News, the full list of coaches comes out. When will that be published?
Tomorrow
it is.
We teased with the 25 today. We'll have the rest of them tomorrow.
Good stuff, Bill Bender. We'll talk to you in the weeks ahead. Thanks for jumping on.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you, Bill Bender. We talk a little college football with Bill Bender from the Sporting News. All right, we'll take our time out, come back, finish up the hour number two. We'll start with some NFL conversation. Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports is going to be here. He's also their sports wagering, what you call it, reporter, I guess, at Yahoo Sports. He was just, it blew him away how much money he's bet on Caitlin Clark to be the MVP of the WNBA. So, we'll go around a couple of areas with Frank coming up.
Speaking of that, I got some Caitlin Clark props for you
for tonight.
We come back. Yeah, for the game this evening, we talked about some of those season-long ones that are out there. Mm-hmm. Got the numbers for this evening in her debut.
Did you see the plane? They're one of two teams that are now flying private. Good for them.
And they looked happy.
Yeah, you think? that's for sure. We'll come back. Some numbers we'll throw at you. And then Frank Schwab on the NFL and Tommy Birch to localize a little bit at 12:30 with Birchie. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. 5 minutes before noon. Another keyword coming up in hour number two throughout the afternoon. Murph and Andy have a couple from 1 to 3. And, of course, the drive, Heather and Sean, 3 until 6 o'clock. All right, you've come up with some, well, you didn't, but you found some props.
I did.
Any of them, which one gets your attention? You might play what?
I already dabbled on this one. Caitlin Clark tonight, points, rebounds, plus assists. All three of them.
Combined, okay. The number is mid-30s.
31.5, and I played the over.
Okay.
So we're in the same line
page
of thinking.
Yep.
Yes, 31.5 seemed a tick low. Mm-hmm. Now, her point total for tonight, it's 20.5 at DraftKings right now, and FanDuel also has it at 20.5.
She had 12 in her final preseason tune-up, I want to say, last week.
Probably going to see a little more of her, though, in this one.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to anticipate
probably
tonight.
So.
By the way, the Fever are an 8-point dog this evening to the Connecticut Sun. But 20.5.
Where do they play? Mohican Sun?
Yeah. And that's where the name comes from. Don't exactly think sunny skies in Connecticut. At least I don't.
I don't. Yes, I have been to Connecticut one time. I don't remember. It was January. I don't remember.
Probably was not.
Flew into Hartford. I do remember that part.
Go see the Whalers?
Now they were still alive.
Were they?
Still alive?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Assist number, 6.5. The over, -132 on that one. And rebounds is 4.5. So, just a little bit surprised at some of those numbers. Made three-pointers in the game. Have that one. 3.5 is the number.
Oh, she's going to surpass that.
Well, you can bet on her to make 5 or more three-pointers, a +210. 25 points in the game, +340 for that one. Record a double-double, +360. What you'd be more willing to spend your money on? 25 or more points, +340, or a double-double at +360?
Points
over 25 for you. So those are the props that are up there again on both FanDuel and on DraftKings. Caitlin Clark has her own dedicated tab.
Jesus.
When you click on WNBA.
And why shouldn't she?
Right? Absolutely.
She moves the needle like none other. Anxious to see how the season plays out. And if it is, does it wane out? Do you think it does?
That'll be interesting to see. After we get through a huge second game, obviously, too, against New York.
Yeah. And that's the home opener.
And I mean, that's going to be a monster. But yeah, we're playing game 13.
Mm-hmm.
Still a long ways before the playoffs. The Olympic buzz hasn't really started yet.
No, that, you know what? Let me interrupt you. Have they named the Olympic team yet?
They have not.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so maybe you'll get a little push for that. But yeah, just a kind of a random Tuesday night 3 weeks from now. That'll be interesting to see what kind of sustainability that mm-hmm. they have, because we talked about the buildup throughout the course of the year. And maybe her second time through going to different cities, what kind of attendance figures are going to be there for that?
Do they need to be competitive?
I think so. I really think that that's going to be a huge part. Now they're 4-13.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be difficult.
When
to
does
swallow.
She play Tarazi's team?
Not sure offhand. I have to take a look
June,
at the
June, maybe? Did I see?
Is that what it was?
I thought so. I could be wrong.
A little bit deeper into the schedule.
A little bit deeper into the...
Let's see. We've got the Fever schedule here. They will take on Phoenix.
Phoenix when?
The Mercury scrolling through. Mercury, where are you? The 30th of June. That is a Sunday 2 o'clock game on ESPN. That can do some numbers.
That'll do pretty well.
Yeah.
Right?
That'll do some numbers. But yeah, the Liberty, it'll be a home and home. Thursday at home against them, and then they go Saturday. That's what I was thinking when she goes back to New York on that private plane.
Hmm.
Aaliyah Boston, 15.5, her number, points tonight. Also taking a look at that one. Coming up later on, I will have my Circa plays of the day. And yes, some of these numbers will be involved.
WNBA is elbowing its way into Trent's plays of the day. How was your day yesterday overall?
2-4.
I know you got Oklahoma City home.
Yep, we got both of the NBAs. We got a bucket with about 5 seconds left to get the cover from the Cavaliers. That was a good one. But baseball was an absolute disaster.
What about, what did you make of LeBron James at the game yesterday? What do we take away from that? Does he want to go home?
Struck me as odd.
That struck me as really odd.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the Lakers and their fans thinking?
It's one thing for an NBA Finals and you see NBA players there. A conference semifinal?
Yeah. In his home, a team that obviously brought them a championship. I wonder if that's where it's going to end.
Did you see he had a bottle of wine, too?
I did, underneath his chair.
A bottle of wine?
Yeah. This is off-season.
I don't think we could get away with that.
No. No.
Your own bottle of wine in between your legs.
Yeah. No. And I don't think Cindy could get away with wearing the hat that LeBron's wife wore either.
Exactly.
Jesus. That was a classic. All right, hour number two. We'll start with the NFL conversation. Our friend Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports joins us. Then Tommy Burch localized it a little bit at 12:30 with Burchy. Trent's Plays of the Day, Circus Sports sponsors. Hour two is next.